Tonight we move on to Exodus chapter 30, but I want you to first turn with me to a passage in Ezekiel chapter 33, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 33, I want you to look at verse 13. Let me say while you're turning there that the Bible is very clear. God says in no uncertain terms that in our flesh there dwells no good thing. Romans 7:18. And the Lord says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64 verse 6. And I know that many in this world would disagree with me on that, but it's not disagreeing with me. It's disagreeing with God. It's disagreeing with God's word. This is what God says about every man and woman born of Adam. And every single thing. And this offends some folks, but it don't offend a believer. But everything a believer thinks and does is sin. Everything that we think, do, say is mixed with sin. Even what we think to be our righteousnesses. Did you notice that word is plural? Righteousnesses, speaking of the many things that we think that we do that are good, things that we think that God will accept. But those righteousnesses are nothing but filthy and wretched works in the eyes of God, and God won't accept them. It has to be perfect to be accepted, and we can do nothing perfect to be accepted. You hear me say that all the time. It's true. I ran across this scripture here in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 13, that I think very well explains what I'm trying to show you. God says this. He says, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses, again, plural, meaning his own personal works, his own personal morality, they shall not be remembered. For his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Now the Lord here in this verse is talking about two different classes of people. I don't know how to say it any different than that. Two classes of people under the same category of sinners. We're all under one category, really, and that's sinners. But here the Lord tells us about two types of sinners. He's first talking about those who are made righteous in Christ alone. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's who that's talking about. Those who are made righteous in Christ alone by substitution. That man or woman, Ezekiel says, shall surely live. This is the believer who trusts not in his or her own righteousnesses, but looks to the righteousness of Christ and lives by faith in his perfect righteousness done in their room instead. But in the second group here, there are sinners found trusting in their own personal righteousnesses. Again, plural, their own personal works, their own personal morality. And when that happens, their righteousnesses become iniquity. And all their so-called good works, God says, shall not be remembered. Anything that we think to be a righteous work that God will accept is actually sin. Filthy rags in the eyes of God. And that's exactly what our Lord said to those who professed all the things that they thought to be righteous works. Remember what they said? Haven't we done this? And haven't we done that? We've done many wonderful works, many wonderful righteousnesses in your name. And what did God say? He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Any personal righteousness that we trust in is in God's eyes iniquity. And I've heard it said, and I totally agree, that it's not your sin that will prevent you from being redeemed, but it's your righteousnesses that will, certainly will. Those that are well have no need of a physician, and those that are righteous in their own eyes, by their own works, have no need of Christ. The only way a sinner can be saved by God's grace and can be accepted by God and enter into God's presence is through knowing that they need a substitute. And knowing that they need a substitute, they trust in God's great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who ever lives to make intercession for them. And that's what we have pictured before us tonight in the golden altar of incense. If you remember, this is the only piece of furnishing in the tabernacle that we didn't cover in our past studies. You can go ahead and turn with me to Exodus 30, if you would. It seems as the Holy Spirit waited until here in chapter 30 to deal with this particular furnishing. And I believe it was so that we could understand something more of the office of the high priest and the priest who burned this sweet incense for God's people. This was a different altar from the one that we saw before. The first altar was made of brass. You remember that? It's called the brazen altar. This altar was made of gold. That brazen altar was for the sacrifices. The golden altar was for burning incense. Two different altars. That brazen altar was outside in the courtyard before you ever entered into the holy place. The golden altar here was in the holy place before entering into the holiest of holies. The brazen altar typified Christ, our Redeemer's sacrifice, by whose blood we enter into the holy place. But the golden altar of incense typifies Christ, our glorious High Priest, by whose intercession, by whose mediation, we enter into God's presence, into the holiest of holies, which is the very throne of God. And we are enabled to enter in because we are accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. Now, you've heard all that before. Fresh to me tonight as it was the first time I heard it. It's the only hope that I have of being reconciled to God. Now, look at verse 1 with me. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. That's what this golden altar is. And let me just tell you right from the start. Christ is that altar, and Christ is that incense. Matter of fact, Christ is everything that we see in the tabernacle and in its furnishings. Haven't we seen that so clearly? He's everything. This is all about Him. The incense pictures Christ's intercession together with the prayers of God's people, rising up into God's presence to the holiest of holies before the throne of God. Let me show you that from Scripture. Put your marker here in Exodus 30 and turn with me to Revelation chapter 8. I want you to see this. Revelation chapter 8, verse 2. Revelation chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Why do we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Our prayers are offered unto God in the name of Christ because that's the only way that they will ever be accepted by Him. Christ takes our prayers and He offers them to God for us, and God accepts them. God accepts our prayers only in, by, and through the merits of Christ. Now, our Lord in Malachi chapter 1, verse 11 said this. You don't have to turn there. It says, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." That's Christ speaking. "And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." Now back here in Exodus chapter 30, we read again verse 1, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof, and the horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about." So we see that the altar of incense here was to be made of shittim wood. We're familiar with that. Now we know from prior studies that shittim wood represented our Lord's humanity. God became a man, friends. That's important to know. He had to in order for us to be redeemed. Shittim wood was considered to be an incorruptible wood. We've talked about that. Everything pretty much in the tabernacle was made of shittim wood. Now, in our Lord's humanity, we know that he was holy and without sin. He was the only man ever born of woman with no sin. Why? Because God was his father. It was the seed of God that was implanted in a virgin and brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he himself was without corruption, without sin. Jesus Christ was a perfect man. Scripture says he knew no sin, much less did he ever commit sin. And then we have gold here, and that represents our Lord's divinity. Jesus Christ is God. He's holy. He's righteous. He's eternal. He's omnipotent. He's God. Everything God is, Christ is in a bodily form. As a man, Christ was made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the curse of the law, to redeem you and I. As a man without sin, he could willingly obey the law. He could willingly take and bear the sins of his people. Our Lord Jesus could willingly shed his precious blood and die in the place of God's elect. You see, not just any man could do that. Not just any man could do those things. It had to be a perfect man. It had to be a man without sin. He had to be a man who was incorruptible. That's what the shittim wood pictures. Christ was a man who was, the scripture says, was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet without sin. That's why he's able to comfort us in all our trials and in all our tribulations and in all the things that we face in the flesh and in this life. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He was God who became a man, and as both God and man, Christ is our one mediator. Between God and men, there's only one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only one. There is no one else. Why do we look elsewhere? Why do we look within? There's only one way we can be saved. He's the only one who can lay hold of God and at the same time lay hold of God's elect and bring them both together. That's what a mediator is. Hebrews 4 verses 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's the difference. We're tempted day in and day out, and we sin every time. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Because of what we've done? No. No, sir. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself is also compassed with infirmity? You see, a natural man can't do these things for a sinner. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now there's your mediator. And he's sitting at the right hand of God in all power and in all authority. Take your care and your troubles to him. I don't believe that there's any doubt here in these verses that the horns and the crown on this golden altar of incense pictured Christ's power, seen in the horns, and his kingship as our resurrected Lord. Just like the glorified shittim wood, Christ is our glorified King, sits at God's right hand as the God-man, and us being found in him, our once fallen nature is now made anew. That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to be a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new for God's people. And we've been made a new creation in Christ, and we're glorified in him. Look at verse 4. And two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof, upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it. And they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. Let's never forget that Israel had to move this tabernacle and all its furnishings every time they picked up and moved. The thing I want you to see here is that the altar of incense, along with these other furnishings, was always with them, wherever they went. Every part of the tabernacle was. What a blessed thought that is. So it is with every believer. So it is with every child of God. Christ is always, always present with us to intercede for us with God in the holiest of holies. He's seated at the right hand of God. Don't ever lose sight of what a mediator is. And don't ever, ever lose sight who your mediator is. Jesus Christ is the one mediator. How many? Just one. He's the one mediator between God and men. And Christ is that one. If you lose sight of that, you've lost life itself. The only way that we can be accepted is in Christ. The only way that God will ever hear you is if Christ, your intercessor, goes to God in your room instead. God only hears those who have Christ as a high priest. He only hears those who have Christ as their advocate and Christ as their go-between. You leave Christ out of your religion, you've got a false religion. You leave Christ out of your gospel, you have no gospel. You leave Christ out of your preaching, you're a false preacher. And you have believed a lie. That's just a fact. You leave Christ out of your salvation, you have no salvation. Christ is salvation. Salvation's in a person, and Christ is that person. I tell you what you do have if you leave Christ out. You have a false hope. You have a hopeless assurance. You have an uncertain surety. Christ is a surety. He's a certain thing. Salvation is certain in Him. Without Christ, you have nothing, and you can do nothing, and nothing means nothing. It means not one thing. What would make any sinner, honestly, think that they could do anything that God would accept when God only accepts perfection? What would make any child of wrath think that he could in any way keep the law of God perfectly? What makes us think that we could do such a thing? How can we satisfy God's holy law fully when sin is all we are? God shows, reveals, and convinces men and women that they are in and of themselves nothing but wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. And that offends a lot of folks, but it don't offend a child of God. You know why? Because they know that's what they are. God enables them to see that they are nothing, they have nothing, and they can do nothing. Friends, there's nothing about us that would cause us to have favor in God's sight. Except it be for Christ's sake. That's why. That's the only reason. The very second that any of us get in our minds that we're special to God, apart from Christ, our carnality, our fleshly, carnal minds, and you know what the word means. It means hostility. Hostility toward God. That's what a carnal mind is. Our mind and hearts toward God is exposed whenever we think that we ourselves can do something to merit God's favor. It's hostile thought against God to think that Christ needs our assistance to produce a perfect work in order to save us. God will not share His glory with another. His glory is found in what His Son did. And I might add, all that Christ did, He did willingly. He did voluntarily. He did because He wanted to. Christ justly justified all God's elect. Christ kept God's law. He kept it all, and He kept it all perfectly, and He fulfilled God's justice. And this made God a just God and a Savior. Now look at verse 6. And thou shalt put it before the veil, speaking of the ark of incense. Thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony before the mercy seat, that it is over the testimony where I will meet with thee. Now here our picture of Christ becomes even clearer, I think. This is where we see the picture of the Lord Jesus as our intercessor. The golden altar was placed in the holy place before the veil. Behind the veil was the holiest of holies, and the priest had to come to this altar of incense found in that holy place and offer it there. And as we know, the holiest of holies was separated from the holy place by the veil. And behind that veil is pictured the very presence of God, where God met with the high priest. In our past studies, we saw how God's people who are made priests unto God are sanctified and consecrated so that they might have communion with God. We look in detail to the sin offering, which typified Christ, who laid down his life for us, putting away all our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Then we saw the burnt offering, which typified Christ's obedience on our behalf. And it came up to God as a sweet-smelling savor, making his people accepted in the Lord Jesus. Then there was the ram of consecration. That ram typified Christ's blood applied to us by the Holy Spirit and sanctifying us and bringing us again into fellowship with God, holy communion with God. Then there was the peace offering. That offering typified Christ, our peace, which enables us to come boldly into God's throne of grace to find help and mercy and grace and instruction in time of need. Yet all these offerings were done outside of the holy place. Those offerings were made on the brazen altar outside of the holy place in the courtyard. But this altar of incense, it was made inside the holy place before the veil. Then beyond the veil was the holiest of holies, where God accepted or rejected the offering and the sacrifice. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you the end before I tell you the story. He always accepts Christ, our offering and sacrifice. That's what we better offer. We better offer him. I can't offer him my heart. It's wicked and deceitful above all things. God don't want our hearts. We offer Christ. That's all we have to offer. The altar of incense was inside the holy place. All those who have been made priests by Christ's blood have been brought into the holy place, and they've been brought to Christ, who is the sanctuary. Therefore, they're now sanctified. They're made holy. That's what that means. In order to be reconciled to God, I've got to be as holy as he is. Now, how am I going to do that? Only one way. Made holy and accepted in Christ. It's the only way. Well, we have a very singular gospel. It's in, by, and through Christ's blood that every believer is now without sin in the holy place. But God is pictured here as being beyond the veil in the holiest of holies. In this we see that though we are holy in Christ, God is yet in heaven with Christ at his right hand. And by Christ being our high priest, we now have welcome access to come into God's presence in heaven. You got a problem, you take it to him. You've got welcome access to Christ, to God through Christ. The altar of incense simply pictures how that Christ makes intercession for us, bringing our prayers perfect before God. I've never prayed anywhere near a perfect prayer. Sins mixed with everything that I've ever prayed. But when Christ takes it before God the Father, it's perfect. Perfect. Perfect before God with him as our mediator and our intercessor. God accepts the chosen sinner, and he meets with us in Christ, who is our mercy seat. It's all about Christ, isn't it? Have you seen that yet? It's all about Christ. There's a great deal of these things that I don't understand, but there is one thing that I do understand, and that is that Christ is everything. I don't suppose I've learned that or seen that any clearer than in these Old Testament studies. Everything points to Him. Everything pictures Him. All these things typify the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the altar of incense in the holy place before the veil pictures the intercession of Christ that gives us access into God's presence when we pray in His name and for His sake. And that's why the veil in the temple was rent in two, was torn from the top to the bottom when Christ cried, "It's finished." Do you remember that? Our Lord Jesus, our great high priest, not only prays for us, friends, but He takes our prayers and He presents them with the incense of His infinite merit before the Father's throne, causing our prayers to come up to God perfect and accepted. Sweet smell of life unto life. And that's when the veil was torn in two, giving us continual access into God's throne of grace. Now look at verse 7. "And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it." Notice here that it's Aaron, the high priest, that burns the incense. Verse 8. "And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, or in the evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual." You see that word? You know what perpetual is. Never ending. "As a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation." Aaron the high priest and every high priest after him was to keep this sweet incense burning every morning and every evening, perpetually, continually before the Lord throughout their time as priests. No matter where the true child of God is, Christ is always present with us. Isn't that amazing? No matter what our condition is, no matter what our circumstances are, Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. Now, I find that to be good news. You think about the implications of that. At no time will a chosen, redeemed child of God be turned away from the throne of grace. Why? Because Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. Christ is our high priest perpetually and continually, gives off that sweet smelling incense that God accepts on our behalf. We have continual, perpetual, eternal access and acceptance in God's presence. And I'm telling you, if we can spiritually, with the heart of faith, get a hold of that, we got a hold of something. We do. I'm telling you, we do. You've got a hold of the only thing that will ever keep peace and assurance in your heart and mind. That's the only thing. We lose it when we look within, but if we keep looking to Christ, my, my. It's here that you know that Christ did something for you that you could not do for yourself. We use that definition quite often for salvation, but that's exactly what it is. God doing for me what I could never do for myself. Verse 9, "You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord." Now, this is what God prohibited. No, he said here, no strange fire could be used. The fire for this burning of the incense had to come from the brazen altar where the sin offering was consumed. And you can read about that in Leviticus 16. But it's here that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, departed from the plain word of God. By doing so, they were saying they could worship God, that they could offer a sacrifice unto God another way except the prescribed way of Christ and Him crucified. Now, let me tell you something. That's a serious, serious thing. We don't dare offer anything to God that's not by the prescribed way of Christ. No strange incense could be used, only the incense God required. No strange fire. And it's that incense alone that declares Christ is our high priest and intercessor, and his intercession alone is what's accepted of God. There is no other way. Anyone who attempts to worship God in any way except in and by and through Christ, certain death awaits. There's only one way. Christ is the way. No man, no woman, nobody comes to the Father but by him. Now this incense the high priest burned on this altar was to be used for nothing else. I'm going to skip a few verses here and have you look down at verse 34 with me. In verse 34 and in the following verses, I think through the end of the chapter, there are at least three things that we see about this incense that was to be burned unto the Lord God. And it's these three characteristics of the spices that were used to make up this incense. And again, I'll tell you up front that they all picture Christ. They all show us something of Christ. Look at verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stack and onycha and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be a like weight, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereof, shall be cut off from his people. Now, the first thing that's mentioned here about the incense, it's said to be sweet. Christ, our sweet savor, will be just that to you if the Lord saves you. To the child of God, Jesus Christ becomes sweet. Oh, he's sweet, isn't he? I don't know how sweet the smell was to those who were outside of the tabernacle, but to those priests that were inside the tabernacle, that incense was sweet. And most importantly, the smell was sweet to God Almighty. How sweet must the intercession of Christ be to the beloved Father who is well pleased with his Son? How sweet the incense of Christ is to the believer who rests their soul completely upon Christ's acceptance. I have hope that I'm accepted being in Christ because Christ is accepted of God. Only those in the tabernacle saw how sweet it was, as only those who are in Christ do. Secondly, the incense was said to be pure. The word pure here in the Hebrew means perfect and clear. It means freedom. There's no freedom apart from a pure and clear conscience. Only one who is free of sin can be accepted of God. Christ certainly fits that bill. Our righteousness, perfection, and purity is in him, isn't it? And then thirdly, in verse 35, this incense is said to be holy. And if you use this incense for anything other than what God designated it to be used as, you'd be cut off from the people. Now that term to be cut off in the scripture usually refers to either excommunication or most of the time it meant death. This is a serious, serious matter. And it was right here written in the law of God just how much of each of these spices were to be used and for them to be used for any other purpose than God's purpose meant death. Well, what does that picture? Well, that pictures men endeavoring to do the work that only Christ can do. It's the same as a man saying, I'm the one who intercedes, or I am the one that God hears, or I am the one that God accepts. No, sir, you're not. That's why Paul wrote this. He said, to the praise of the glory of his, Christ's grace, wherein he, Christ, hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's not our works that God accepts. It's not our prayers that are an offering for sin. It's not even our thankfulness that makes us acceptable. It's Christ that makes us so. Well, in closing, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Let me read you a verse or two here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. The Lord Jesus Christ is our everything. He's our acceptance with God. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How? Well, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Friends, Aaron offered incense only for the children of Israel. So it is with the Lord Jesus. Did he not say, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world? Christ intercedes only for his own, only for his people, only for God's elect. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 8, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again. Listen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There it is. That's that sweet-smelling incense in the nostrils of God. May God be pleased to enable us to see that Christ is our altar of incense, and he is the only sweet-smelling savor that God will accept.